Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for making this possible. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, and getting us prepared for the awesome things to come and all your wonderful exhortations that you give us to clean us up and make us righteous. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, okay, I'm going to share a revelation with you that we're going to call The Holy People Will Conquer. And these are a bunch of dreams that have been trailing to us, and they all kind of point in this direction. They were given to Sandy Shaw and were faithfully recorded by Don and Merlene Laughlin. So we give thanks unto them for that. The first one is called The White Glove Inspection. Sandy Shaw, February 11, 2018. She said, "In the beginning of this dream, I'm standing in front of an extraordinarily large white house. In real life, there's no way that you would see a house this large on earth." Well, at this time, there really is no people who this white house can represent but the bride. And certainly not the larger church. But the bride's job is to bring this purity to the church, as Jesus did with his early disciples, when John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," right? Sandy said the steps leading up to the door were made of gold. And we know that the steps of gold are the most valuable steps a person could take to go through the door, who is Jesus. Amen? But the top step had an adjoining white marble floor that ran throughout the whole house. There are two pillars that start where the gold ends. There are two double doors, bright white, made of the substance that I didn't know. Well, bright white seems to speak of lampros, which is the garment of the bride. This entrance represents righteous acts in Revelation 19:8, "And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright," that's lampros, "and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." The gold plates around the door handles had a intricate design around the edges. The handles were of round crystal. And we'll speak more of crystal in just a little bit, see what that points out. She said, "I opened the doors, and in front of me is a huge room. And I strained my eyes to see how far it goes. Then I looked at the left of me, and there are hundreds of doors to the rooms, and the same on the right. I'm wearing a white robe with white gloves to the elbows." Now, I don't doubt that Sandy here might represent the bride who is cleaning up her house and is inspecting her house. We'll see. And anyway, and of course, this white robe represents righteous works, right? "I opened the doors, and in front of me is a huge room, and I strained my eyes to see how far it goes. I went to the first door and went to the upper right-hand corner, and then went diagonally down the left corner. I opened the door and went into the room and closed the door. And I did it again on the opposite side. And then I opened the door, and then I inspected the walls. I took my finger by my height. I slid it across to the corner. And this, of course, is the white glove inspection. You've probably heard of that before or seen it on commercials. The white glove inspection. Everything shows up on a white glove, doesn't it? So if dirt comes up on the finger, there's unrighteousness in the house of the bride. There's dirt, right? Unrighteousness. But so far, it seems to be passing inspection. Then from the wall, I bent down to inspect the floor. It passed inspection. So I walked to the bed, bent down and put my hand under the bed, and then I stood up. Then I looked at the bed. I believe the bed probably represents the rest through faith, because the righteous shall live from faith. It was made up with white satin-like fabric. I can see my handprint from kneeling down, so I took my hands and smoothed out the wrinkle that I had made. Well, the bride is the first of the church to be without spot and wrinkle. God is, of course, planning to make the church this way, but the bride is the first fruits, and it's their job, like Esther, to save the church from their beastly attack, you know. Song of Solomon is the same. The bride is sticking out above the queens and the concubines and the virgins. And she's come to maturity ahead of them. And in both cases, you can see that. She said the three white pillows were soft and very inviting. Then I walked to the nightstand and gave it the white glove test. There was a beautiful crystal vase. In it was a dozen white roses, all at the perfect stage of openness. And I would say that this represents the beautiful fruit born through the water of the Word. The word crystal vase sticks out, and the roses stick out. Of course, they're in a vase with water. Revelation 22:1 says, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb." Amen. So it's coming out of his throne. It also comes out of the heart of the righteous, because that's where God sits on his throne, in the Holy of Holies, right? The fragrance of them was throughout the whole room. Then I looked to see the amount of water in the vase. The only color in this dream were the stems. Then I walked to the window and pushed aside the curtain. The window was so clear that you couldn't see it. In other words, I believe this represents clear or purity of sight. And then I took my finger and went from upper right corner to the go diagonally to the left. And there were two windows in a room. They were open an inch each. A slight breeze was coming in. I believe this is probably representing the breath of the Holy Spirit. Now there was a coolness that blended with the warmness, and you felt it together to make a perfect temperature. I then checked the curtains, and then I walked to the door. I turned around to look at the room the last time. and I noticed that the curtains were barely moving with a slight breeze. In other words, the breath of the Spirit is coming in, right? Then I remembered to look up at the ceiling, and there was no ceiling, just a beautiful deep blue. Well, I would say that is a heavenly perspective. We're looking into heaven, right? The thing God wants us to pay attention to, right? I did this on all the rooms, on the right and on the left. In the huge room, I ran my fingers over the floor while walking to the kitchen. The kitchen has a white swivel door. A kitchen, of course, is where food is prepared to take care of the people in the house, right? Everything is still white. The first thing I saw was a row of ovens. I would suspect that's to bake the pure unleavened bread of the Word and the body of the bride. I know that there are 40 ovens. I walk over to give them the test. 40 is the number of trial, right? Oven is a fiery trial to get the unleavened bread ready for people to eat. And of course, we become unleavened bread as we eat unleavened bread, and we are the food that the people around us need when that happens. Then from there, I went to the 4 vintage farmhouse sinks, and they passed inspection. Then I went to the 4 huge refrigerators, and I opened them. Obviously, the sinks pass inspection because they have to be clean in order to clean anything that you put in them. And we are obviously washed up with the water of the Word, right? And when she opened the refrigerators, there was no food in them, she said. But to be pure and white, you must have eaten the food of the bread and wine. So there's no food because it's been eaten, I would guess. Inside was only a rectangular glass container that held water with a silver spigot. Well, silver kills contaminants in water, doesn't it? And the water of the Word must be clean of leaven. She said all 4 refrigerators were the same. Remember, when God's people came out of Egypt, they could only eat the unleavened bread before going to the wilderness in those 7 days. So we're getting prepared for the wilderness by the pure water of the Word, or the bread of life, the Word, okay? Then I did the floor test again. There was a door on the right side of the kitchen that went into a very small hall. This led to a big room. At the other end of the room was a huge chair that looked like it was made for a giant. A man was sitting in it with pure white hair and garment. That reminded me of Revelation 1:13 and 14, which says, "And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about at the breast with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. I walked slowly and said very softly, 'Sir,' and he said, 'Yes.' The inspection is done. And he said, 'Okay.' And then I woke up. My feeling was of total relief and acceptance from him, and he was pleased." Amen. Lord, get us ready. Get us cleaned up. Thank you so much, Father. I received by faith at random this text for this dream. And my finger was on verse 26. He made. Acts 17:24-30. The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Speaking about this white building. Neither is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he made of one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain even of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead as like unto gold or silver or stone, or graven by art and device of man. The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent. Okay, this one we call the check stub dream. And that's Sandy Shaw, 11:22-17. I had a dream in which I was holding a check stub for $1,006 the day before Thanksgiving. Yesterday, December the 4th, I had received a letter from Social Security office that told of a 2% increase and that I would get $1,006. So what is this all about? The thing that comes to me is that this is a confirmation from the Lord that Sandy is getting accurate dreams. Okay, so now we can get back to the subject of the title we talked about. This is the peacock dream that Sandy received December the 4th, 2017. In a dream, a lady was standing in a park, and I came up next to her. She was looking at a peacock with his tail fanned out, making quite a display. Note, on Monday the 4th, I went to dialysis, and a man in dialysis found a peacock feather and gave it to one of the nurses, which reminded me of this dream. Okay, back to the subject. Then she looked at me and said, "You know, looking at the peacock reminds me of Joseph's coat of many colors." And I wondered, what were the colors of Joseph's coat? Then she tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you from UBM?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, all of you are going to get a coat of many colors." Well, you know, my thought is that this is meaning that all of those who come from the unleavened bread will also have the many colors that make up the light. Genesis 37:3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Okay, well, light that is composed of all the colors of the spectrum. Colors are all the different attributes of white or righteousness, like Joseph's coat of many colors. Jesus, who is the Word and the light, is made up of these different attributes of righteousness. In other words, when all colors are completely present, we have white. It's a graduation of sorts of our walk to Christlikeness. In other words, having all of his attributes, right, since he is the light. In Esther 2 and 9, we're told, "And the maiden," who in this case is Esther, "the bride, pleased him." And I believe this represents the Holy Spirit. "And she obtained kindness of him." If you please the Holy Spirit, you will receive kindness from him. "And he speedily gave her her things for purification." Who is it that purifies the bride? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. "With her portions and the seven maidens who were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he," that is the Holy Spirit, "removed her and her maidens to the best place of the house of the women." Well, notice that these seven maidens from the king were given her because she pleased the Holy Spirit. And she was promoted. And of the virgins, Esther pleased the Holy Spirit and quickly received grace to come to purity. And likewise, if we walk pleasing to the Holy Spirit, listening to his voice and obeying him, we will receive grace to be in the man-child or bride. The man-child is actually a part of the bride, like David was a part of Jerusalem. And anyway, she was given the seven maidens out of the king's house, which represent the seven attributes of Christ. Christ is the light, which is broken down into seven primary colors, which represents the attributes of light. And Joseph's coat of many colors represents him having put on Christ as the man-child, head of the bride. And notice that in faith are found the seven attributes of Christ. 2 Peter 1 and 5 says, "Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith." Notice that in our faith are the seven attributes of Christ likeness. And that's where they're supplied. Okay? So I'm going to read that again. "Yea, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue." That's the first one. "And in your virtue, knowledge." The second one. "And in your knowledge, self-control." "And in your self-control, patience." "And in your patience, godliness." "And in your godliness, brotherly kindness." "And in your brotherly kindness, love." And there's the seven attributes. Notice that the words "in your" indicate that each attribute comes out of the previous one, and they all come out of faith. So there is no comma behind faith in the Greek, and these are the seven pillars that support the house of God. Through your faith, you may have all of these seven pillars. When you walk by faith, you can have everything God gives. There are the seven pillars that support the house of God, because Proverbs 9 and 1 says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts," representing the flesh. "She hath mingled her wine," which represents the blood and the nature of Jesus. "She hath also furnished her table. She has sent forth her seven maidens." I've added the seven in there just now. "She has sent forth her maidens," that is seven maidens. "She crieth upon the highest place of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither." Well, I guess we're all simple, so we need to turn in, right, and receive these attributes, right? "As for him that is void of understanding, she saith to him, Come and eat of my bread," representing the Word of God. and drink of the wine which I have mingled. And we know that by faith in the Word, we receive the seven attributes of the nature of Jesus Christ, which are in His blood. Because Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh is in the blood. Just like your blood is passed on from your parents, and you have to overcome that because the sin of Adam was passed on through the blood first. And now the sin of the last, not the sin, but the life of the last Adam is being passed on to us. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement by reason of the life." Yes, the Lord's life is passed on to us through the blood. That's why it's so important. Okay, so this next one we called "Just Believe, You Have Received." Sandy Shaw, 10:2-17. "I asked the Lord before dialysis, 'Lord, how will I know my kidneys are healed?' I asked for a word and got a blank page three times. Then in dialysis, 'Lord, how am I going to know?' So I fell asleep asking that question." Well, here's a simple answer. You must know it before you see it. Pray for faith, because then you know you have your answer. There is no faster way to receive an answer than to believe you have received. And this is what we're commanded to do with all prayers, like it says in Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received." In the Greek, that's what it is. Even in the received text, that's what it is. "Believe you received them, and you shall have them." So that's knowing you have something. Knowing you are healed. Knowing you are delivered. Knowing you are provided. She said, "I started a dream and was in my childhood swing that was hanging on a large maple tree. It had thick, heavy ropes. I remember seeing the knots. I was wearing a dress from my childhood. It had light pastel colors and the material was so soft. I saw a man come to stand near me with a white robe, white hair, and a beard. The same white-haired man, I believe. And I saw him come towards me. I put my feet on the ground to slow down. 'Sandra, when your leg grows out, you will be healed from the top of your head to the toes of your feet.' And then the nurse grabbed my arm and I woke up." Interesting. "I asked for a word by faith at random for this dream and got John 4:46-54. He came therefore again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said unto him, 'Except you see signs and wonders, you will in no wise believe.'" Except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. In other words, what was Jesus complaining about here? Well, it's clear that we should believe before we see. Very clear. "The nobleman said unto him, 'Sir, come down ere my child die.' And Jesus saith unto him, 'Go thy way, thy son liveth.' The man believed the word that Jesus spake unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, so he believed, and he went on. He walked by faith, right? And as he was going down, his servants met him, saying that his son lived. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. That's when he exercised the faith, right? So the father knew that it was that hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed and his whole house. And this is again the second sign that Jesus did, having come out of Judea unto Galilee. And then Sandy had the park bench visit on January the 9th, 2018. And she said, in a dream, I was sitting on a park bench watching the birds. My wheelchair was behind me. All of a sudden, I noticed that the old man that appears in my dreams at times was standing near me. He said, may I sit down? And I said, yes. And he watched the birds for a moment, and he said, I have a message for you. I said, a message for me? He said, yes. Your tears that you cry at night, the Lord has seen them. Your blessings are about to come. The blessings are about to come? I said slowly. You mean I'm going to get my foot and my new kidneys? Oh, and my eyes? When? And I turned to look, and he was gone. You know, it's interesting that he's gone, but I'm guessing that the answer is the same. You receive it now, you see. You receive everything now. You receive it now by faith, right? And then, of course, God manifests it. So he can answer that. He can tell you when you walk by faith, it will come, right? So I received by faith at random this text for this dream, Hebrews 12 and 12. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the palsied knees, and make straight paths for your feet, that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed. So those who walk in holiness and righteousness are not under the curse. And by the way, they'll have a great testimony to share with others, right? And they also can be delivered. Testimonies encourage people. And that's what this is about. Look what the Lord has done. Sandy named this one January 22nd, 2018. And again, Sandy may represent the bride here. And she said, the way this dream starts, Missy and I are in California at a huge banquet hall. My friend Bernadette was standing at the podium and getting ready to introduce Missy and me because we were the guest speakers. I remember Sandy speaking one time about Bernadette and how that she went with Bernadette to a woman's meeting over there. Of course, now it's obviously much bigger from what we're looking at here. And Bernadette said, I've known Sandy since we were babies. Now I'm so excited with what the Lord has done. Here is Sandy so she can tell you her testimony. So I walked up to the podium and said, my name is Sandy, and I'm here to share what the Lord has done. There was a time in my life that I was very sick, and my sister Missy was living with us. And almost every day she sang this song, How Can I Keep From Singing? And it ministered to me. I'd like her to sing it to all of you now. Please find your quiet place and close your eyes and let it minister to you, like it did to me. So, Missy sang this song, a cappella, and when she finished, I started talking about when they amputated my foot. Bernadette put up the picture on the screen behind me that showed where I had one leg and was in my wheelchair. As I began to speak of how it was because of unforgiveness and the Lord was trying to get my attention way before the foot was cut off, but I was paying attention, but our God is so gracious and so merciful that He gave me another chance. She wasn't paying attention, but the Lord gave her another chance. And then I heard women gasp because they saw my leg now whole. And I turned to see what they were looking at and saw the picture. I said, not only did the Lord give me back my foot, but He healed my kidneys. I'm no longer on dialysis, and they are healed. I'm healed from the top of my head to the toes of my feet. So you can see this is a fulfillment of the last dream, right? I asked if there was anyone who needed prayer or healing or deliverance from anything. And before I had finished saying that, the women were coming up for prayer. Missy and I each had a bottle of anointing oil, and we started praying and anointing with oil. And after everything was done, I felt like me again, because it was not in my strength I did this, but the Lord's. And then I woke up, and I had this dream twice, which usually means what Joseph said, it's surely going to come to pass, right? So I received by faith at random this text for this dream, Acts 22 and 14 and 15. And He said, "The God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know His will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from His mouth. For thou shalt be a witness for Him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." A witness. Praise God. So receiving that by faith at random was really cool. Notice that the offer for, quote, deliverance from anything, unquote, by those who are holy and sent by God. The churches are full of ministers who are not sent and merely wrestle with flesh and fail. Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And Ephesians 1 and 15 says, "For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which is among you, and the love which you show towards all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling." Yes, we need to know what we're called to, you know, in order to have faith to go there, right? "And what the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." What is it that we've inherited from our last Adam, right? "And what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of His might, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and made Him to sit at His right hand in the heavenly places." So this inheritance is according to the working of His strength, of His might, right? "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet. And He gave Him to be the head over all things." So we're talking about the body of Christ here. He's the head, The feet are the lowest member of the body, and he put everything under the feet. Okay, because it goes on to say, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So under the feet of the body, he's the head of the body, and under the feet of the body is all dominion, right? Matthew 8 and 16 says, "And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons. And he cast out the spirits with the word, and healed all that were sick." And verse 31, "And the demons besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, send us away into the herd of swine." Notice, the demons are in the position of requesting. They have no authority. They have to get it from the Lord. And the Lord in us too. Okay. And Matthew 10 and 8, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Now let's talk a little bit about that, because the dreams that we're seeing now are the dominion that Sandy is showing to us over the demons. And she called this one gag order. Sandy Shaw, this is 11-12-17. "In a dream, all of the local UBM is gathered for a meeting, and we were all sitting down on white wooden chairs. All of us had our heads bowed, eyes closed, and hands at waist level with palms up, at rest, humble, and waiting to receive. Standing in front of us, not literally, were all the previous factioned people. They were speaking against us with a lot of word curses. One was standing on the right, but she didn't utter a word and had tears running down her face. One of their leaders was standing in the middle of the group and seemed to be the angriest, attacking us all individually by his words. Simultaneously, they were saying each of our names, and the rest was indistinguishable. I wasn't sure if I was the only one hearing what was said or if others heard it too. I was tired of hearing it, and I was tired of hearing all the word curses over us. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, look up. And I did, and I saw words, quote, gag order, unquote. And when I woke up, this is a clear word that seemed to say that we're to give a gag order to any enemies that speak word curses towards us, and so on and so forth. She has a Wikipedia definition here of a gag order. A gag order, also known as a gagging order or suppression order, is an order, typically a legal order by a court or government, which of course we are. We are the government of the Lord. Restricting information or comment from being made public or passed on to any unauthorized third party. The phrase may sometimes be used of a private order by an employer or other institution. So, you know, what we learn from this, I believe, brethren, is that let us exercise our authority over the faction or any enemy, and bind their slander, railing, witchcraft, and faction. We have orders to give their demons a gag order, just like Jesus did in Mark 1 and 34. And he healed many that were sick with divers diseases, and cast out many demons. And he suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him. He suffered not the demons to speak. So we know we have dominion over them speaking through people, etc. And Matthew 18 and 18 to 19 says, "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, Now, a gag order is something that you're binding, you're not permitting, right? And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Well, amen. How awesome. And we can command the angels to go forth and conquer them. We bind their slander, railing, witchcraft, and faction in Jesus' name. Luke 10 and 17 says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Of course they want to hurt you. They want to send curses to you. And they do it with some people because they don't believe this, you know. We need to believe the word and stand on it and speak it. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Interesting verse that she received by random was Daniel 11, 18 and 19. And it, after this shall he turn his face unto the isles and shall take many, but a prince shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Yea, moreover, he shall cause his reproach to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall and shall not be found. Very interesting. Resistance there and destruction. And then Sandy got what she called the restraining order dream on 11/24/17. And in this dream, she says, I'm at the end of a long park and I need to get to the other side, but I don't know why. To the left of me, I hear voices arguing and it's getting pretty heated, but yet, when I looked in that direction, I see no one. But I kept walking, and I started praying and asking the Lord to calm their temper and not to let it escalate to a fist fight. I'm still walking, but I'm up above observing also. And then, from afar, from the left side, I see a demon running fast and then charging at me. That's when I started yelling at myself, turn around and rebuke that demon. But I didn't hear me. But then I remembered the gag order. And if God honors a gag order, then he will honor a restraining order. So, before that demon could hit me, I issued a restraining order in the name of Jesus. So right in the nick of time, it had to turn around and run the other way. So I was relieved and at peace. And then I woke up. Oh yes, they're very legalistic, these demons. If you got a gag order, that's just the mouth. But here one is running and not saying anything after Sandy. And so she needed a restraining order, and she had authority to do that, because Matthew 18 and 18 says, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He didn't define it, narrow it down, or anything. Now, here's one that she called Protection of a Big Angel. And that was on 10/31/17. In a dream, I was in a large woods that had a lot of pine trees. I could smell them and was standing there enjoying the fragrance when all of a sudden I saw something charge at me. And I thought it was a beast. And then abruptly it stopped in front of me. It was a demon-possessed, factious man that we know. At first, he was telling me to turn around and go back where I came from. And then he started telling me that UBM was a cult. He quoted, he said, and you tell me about twisted words? That's all David does, twist words. Then he started using very foul language. He kept yelling all this stuff and worked himself up into a frenzy that I should go ahead and kill you and put you out of your misery, he said. So when that happened, I just bowed my head, lifted my hands, palms up, and prayed, Lord, please send your angels to defend me. So then a big angel was standing in front of me. He put his hand out and put it in front of the man's face, but he didn't touch him. The man then went flying backwards until he was out of sight, and then I woke up. Very interesting, simple dreams to tell you kinds of things you can pray to defend yourself from the enemy, to conquer the enemy, etc. I received by faith at random this text for this dream, Psalm 5:1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee do I pray. Well, the Lord says, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for. That just covers it all. And he says, you can bind, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That covers it all. Now, we have examples of Sandy being used to reach out in different methods to defend and to conquer enemies. You know, the Lord said, you have not because you ask not, right? So that means people are doing without because they're not exercising faith. You know, the Lord sends little dreams like this to us to cause us to know that we should be extending our authority further and further, and in so many ways that we haven't exercised yet. And this is obvious. The big angels are there to defend you. You know, you can bind the mouths of the wicked speaking through wicked people. You can restrain them from coming against you. You notice what we looked at here first was holiness and righteousness. When you're holy, you have boldness towards God. And you can exercise faith knowing that He's going to answer you. When your heart condemns you, you don't have boldness towards God. And so the first thing you need is holiness, because, you know, if you're under a curse, you're under a curse. For instance, if you don't forgive people, you're not forgiven. That's what the Bible says. If you're not forgiven, you don't have the benefits of the kingdom. And so forgiveness is a very foundation for any kind of spiritual warfare. Don't try spiritual warfare, which you must do, by the way, if you haven't forgiven, because you might get beat up. Forgive so that you can have the benefits of the kingdom. Forgive and exercise the faith that the first church did over principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Remember, even if you're the lowest member of the body of Christ, you have authority over demons. And Jesus is your head. And what can they do with that? Right. The Lord has given us the righteousness and the purity that Sandy spoke about in the first dreams. It's already been given to us at the cross. everything that the bride wanted in the book of Esther was provided for her to go from the house of the women to the king's house. Everything was provided. Everything is provided for us. When we walk by faith, we can receive all these benefits, all these powers, all this ability, everything that we need to make it into the bride. The bride is, of course, the one that goes to the king's house. If you want to be in the bride, you must do spiritual warfare. And it's a good idea to bind your enemy wherever you see him, and especially if they're doing things that you don't like, and you're tempted to go and get to wrestling with flesh and blood, which is always a failure. And it's what the apostate church does, is they wrestle with flesh and blood. That's the only thing they can do, because they don't know anything about spiritual warfare. They don't know anything about authority. And their heart condemns them. Well, Father, we thank you for this awesome revelation here. We ask, Lord, that you bring everything to our remembrance that we've said today, and that we actually do what we've talked about here. We ask, Lord, that the brethren have discernment and understanding of what is the scope of their calling, as we read, so that they know that they have dominion over the devil and all of his works, and over the curse of sin and even death. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for doing this for us. We thank you for drawing us unto yourself. Lord, we ask you to fill us mightily with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, if we have the power of your Holy Spirit in us, it makes many things much easier. Lord, I ask that you fill anyone under the sound of my voice who hasn't yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that you fill them with your Holy Spirit, Father. I ask that they just reach out and receive right now this gift from you. Because God didn't send anybody to do any kind of ministry or even to do spiritual warfare without being baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit of God empowers us to do God's works. Well, all right, thank you, saints, for joining us today. God bless you and keep you, and keep us in your prayers. Thank you so much, and we'll do the same for you.